It's the Lakeland Sports Guys coming to you from Howard's on Main in Uptown Greenwood. Tom Carroll with you along with Chris Cox. We've got the coach Dan Spivey in the house. And today the cheeseburger special here at Howard's on Main. And, you know, it was good to see Eddie. Eddie was in here a little earlier. Good to see him along with Barry coming through. Clyde must have got here early today.
He did. Clyde beat me here.
But that, and we've got a great wait staff that is all here at Howard's on Main. Of course, I ate previously before I came, so I missed out on the cheeseburger special today. But Thursday is going to be a lot of fun. That'll be the twice-baked potato and the ribeye steak sandwich by the time we get back here.
Yep, you're right.
So looking forward to that. Well, guys, it was a great weekend of basketball. It was a great weekend for baseball for Carolina and for Clemson, and we can dive into some of that here later on. But first and foremost, how'd your bracket turn out, Chris?
Red light to screen, buddy. The red light's out there is better than my bracket. We knew that, Tom. Because we sat and watched the first two games, and I got busted on those. So you lose one game, your bracket's gone. And then me and Stan go to his place to watch Carolina, Oregon, and three losses. And then it wasn't very soon. I had my fourth right after that game. So I'm not doing very well. Let's leave it at that. I'll only have a chance if Purdue wins the whole deal. Because I'll continue to
build
points.
That's the
only
team you got left?
That's the only team I've got to still. If they were to win it, but, I mean, that's not going to beat everybody. Because, I mean, that's a one seed. So I'm not the only one that took a one seed. But yeah, it's busted. I think I'm like 987,000th in the CBS lottery thing, man. So that's not very good. So once you get past that, it's over. But anyway, my Gamecocks didn't do it, but your Tigers did. So, I mean, congratulations on that game. That's the team I've been waiting for. And like I said, they finally showed up and played a really good game.
Well, we're going to dive into all of that as well as the college baseball because Lander had a fantastic weekend to go along with that as well. So we'll dive into that here in just a second. But first and foremost, I want to say congratulations to Greenwood Eagle boys. They ended up taking first place in the tee-off classic over this weekend. When you look down the line of other teams that were involved in that, Abbeville ended up in eighth spot. You had 96 in the 12th spot, finishing 12th. And then you had Emerald finishing in the 20th spot to go along with it. But what a great effort it was for the Greenwood Eagles coming in and winning that tee off classic out there at 96. Was that it, you know, at Ford Club? So yeah, it's a big win for them. Cameron Addis again, solid defense, 69 he ended up shooting. Team in itself shot a 291 for a 10-shot victory. I mean, you win by 10 shots as a team, that's pretty doggone good. And that's a lot of live golf right there for you.
That's Chip Witt. That's Coach Witt. That's Coach Witt smiling. Like, he smiled yesterday when the Tigers won, too. But Coach Witt just going out there, and like I said, he's Greenwood, played at Greenwood, played at Clemson. So, like I said, he does a great job with that golf team. And like I said, the last time that I heard anything, Starport's in pretty good shape. But it's not – I like the way you said the defense part, but when you got kids out there shooting what they're shooting, hey, there's no defense in that. You know, it's not like a Carolina girls basketball game. it is what it is, and they go out there and post scores like that. And you know what? The worst scores on there, I'm not playing them dudes. I'm telling you, man, when you're 13, 14, 15 years old and you're shooting in the 60s and 70s, you're going to eventually get up there to where you're playing with the big boys, kind of like Ben Martin. But like I said, those scores are unbelievable. So I know he's smiling all the way to the bank.
Yeah, and you just got to look at Josh Brown was a 73. Adam Knox shot a 74. Keenan Farmer, 75 out of all that to go along with it. And then Cameron, Josh, and Adams all made the all-tournament team in the process. So just a great effort, I think, all the way around for the Greenwood Eagles in that one. But also for the other guys, when you look at Abbeville, ended up in the eighth spot. What an effort they ended up giving because they, you know, they went up against some other 3-4A squads in the process as well.
They did. Like that's what I'm saying. All of the teams in that thing from 96 Abbeville to Emerald. I mean, those scores. The real reason I know it because I've seen. I looked at all the scores when the thing was posted on what Saturday, I guess. Mm-hmm. Those are all outstanding scores. They're a really good golf course. I mean, it's exciting. The weather's getting better, and you know you're gonna start going by Greenwood Country Club, man, and seeing all the different teams out for Lander, for the high schools. It's gonna be a who's who, a plethora of all the teams. So get out and enjoy it. Just take your allergy medications. That would help. I didn't take it today, so I'm a little stopped up.
Yeah. Well, Greenwood's going to be on the golf course again today. They get to go to the T.L. Hanna Yellow Jacket Invitational up there at Cobbs Glen Country Club, which is really nice.
Snobs Glen, yes. I was surprised they're not playing Boscobel, which is a little bit better course. But, yeah, Cobbs Glen's okay, but the members up there are not. That's why it gets the name it gets. I give it to. I still can go play it, though. They don't mind that, well, I do say that.
But with the wind, the way the wind's whipping around today, it might be and a little bit on the cool side. Course may play a little tougher.
Oh, it will. And like I said, they have really small greens at College Glen too. But the one you go want to get, the one you need to go to, Tom Carroll, is when they play like a Daniel or something like that, and they play at Walker Course at Clemson. And that's a fun one to go to, and it's out in the open. You talk about wind.
Yeah.
It's out in the open. They don't have a lot of trees up there, so. But yeah, Cobbs Glen's a good course. It's a fun course. You can score there. So you see where they scored at 96. They'll probably be a little better at Cobbs Glen. Barry, you shot a what? You shot 67 at Cobbs Glen, didn't you? And Anderson? No, you didn't shoot 60. Okay. Harbortown at Hilton Head. Yeah. Boom. 1983. That's cool. I knew he plays. I play at it. I'm more interested in getting John Daly one-on-one in a chip-off next week. So that's what my plan is for God. But you should see some really good scores come out today because, like I said, that's a place you can score on. The greens are really good there, too.
Really nice. We'll look forward to seeing that. And then I got to give a lot of credit out to the Abbeville softball team and the Emeralds Viking softball team because they played a heck of a game last Tuesday. 20-16 was the final, that one, in favor of the Panthers. They ended up winning it in that one. But, you know, the Vikings were playing really, really well, hitting the ball extremely well. It just so happened that Abbeville made a few more plays.
And that's what it takes. I mean, like I said, that was on their home field, right?
It was.
So, you know, you got a whole serve. And well, let me just say this also, since we're doing Lakeland stuff. So far this year with softball, baseball, golf, I just want to give the staff at these schools that get this stuff out, whether it's Facebook, wherever you put it, you're doing a good job. Because, like I said, you don't see a whole lot anywhere else around here. If we can get it, we'll put it out there. And like I said, I want to say that we haven't really talked about this yet, Tom, but our page got hacked, our Facebook page. And so I've been doing everything through my page. You've been doing some stuff through yours. But like I said, that's the reason you're not seeing Lakeland Sports Guy stuff out there every day, every second, every hour, like I was throwing it out there. We haven't got it. We haven't got back yet to where we were working on it. Hope to get it back soon. But like I said, just keep looking for mine. And if you got something, send it to me and I'll get it out if you don't have a page to post it on. So anything Lakeland you want to do it, send it to me or Tom Carroll and we'll get it out there for you.
Find a way around it. Right now, yeah, we're still in the works. Facebook and I have been in constant contact here, and we're still working out the differences. It took me forever to get a hold of them to begin with, but once I did, they're like, okay, well, we're going to find out. It's weird, too, because if you get an advertisement from us, it's not us.
No, it's not.
It's not us at all. And supposedly these folks have been in trouble for advertising. They've been in trouble for soliciting funds and things of that nature. So Facebook is on it. They're going to find out who it is, and we'll get dealt with. But until
the
that's
Meta
done,
group.
Yeah, until that's done, our page is still kind of there. We're just waiting to find out who the culprits are.
And our page don't know what's going on because it's like February the 13th, and that was my last post. And I'm like, did the dude die? I'm sure the Facebook page, I mean, our Lakeland page is like, what happened to my man? But we're still here. We just haven't do stuff on our page. We haven't talked about that. I did get a couple calls about what happened to the page, and I mean, like, that's what happened to it. So if you got something for me, like I said, get it to me. I mean, but I just want to give credit to the guys that are doing it on their media sites from the schools. They're doing a great job. Especially Greenwood. Everyone's got to pick it up a little bit because Greenwood's posting everything, and they're doing a great job with it. So, Emerald got to pick up the pace. Let's sound that horn louder.
Also, want to make mention, you look at Emerald and what they were able to do baseball-wise. They had a really, really good game. they ended up beating Woodruff in this one. And it was Meredith again who comes up with a big walk-off. Well, I would say walk-off fashion, but Tucker Meredith was, what, 8 innings, 12 strikeouts, 1 walk, no earned runs in the process.
Best game, man, so far this year.
Yeah.
I tell you what's cool about Emerald, man. It's like the Army almost, left, right, but I'm doing my left-handed pitcher, right-handed pitcher, left-handed pitcher, right-handed pitcher. And when Tucker's not doing it, we know Will Howard is. I mean, this is exciting to watch Coach Height's team, Tom. You and I have been able to watch them a couple times. It's exciting. We might better just start getting back over there and kind of take over our spot again. So, but, yeah, they're playing really good baseball against really – you know, Woodruff was one of the teams we thought would really be a little more competitive than they've been. And I think they've got an injury on their pitching staff. So, like I said, one gets a bad wing, man, that's not good for baseball. So, knock on that wood beside you like there that we can keep Will and Tucker Meredith healthy. Those guys are solid because you ask them a couple of tough questions. They didn't even phase. You didn't phase them at all. You know, that's why I said I was quiet. I was like, I ain't got nothing to stump them either. If Tom can't get them, I can't get them. But, and like I said, we know Will's already – he's made his commitment to another place. But I'm really excited to see what Tucker Meredith does decide to do, where he decides to play college. And I would just say, young man, stay home. Stay home with Lander.
You might be.
Might be. Yep.
Of course, the hero of that 3-2 win in eight innings was Colson Marino. He ended up going 3-for-3 from the plate and had a 2-RBI single. As well. So, I mean, he had a fabulous night all the way around. So
I know Don was happy dad.
He was. And then Greenwood, they took on easily this past, what was it, Tuesday, I think it was? Or was it last Monday? I can't remember.
It might have been Monday.
Tuesday. But, you know, ended up falling 12-2, unlike them, you know, to take that kind of a loss. But, you know, when you read what happened in the paper and what Cam Adams had basically said about Matt Baker, Matt took all the responsibility for it, said, I didn't have you ready. And this is a team that ended up beating easily earlier the week before, you know.
That's one thing I'll say about Coach is he's never going to put a guy out there and leave him. He's not going to put you on that island. That's why, man, I think Matt Baker is one of the best coaches around here. I tell you, we're lucky in the Lakelands, man. Coach Height, I'm telling you, there are some really good baseball coaches out there.
So, looking forward to seeing the Eagles bounce back as they'll get back underway again. I think they play tomorrow night.
I think Easley's a really good hitting team also, Tom.
Easley's going to be up there, and they're going to challenge Greenwood, I think. It's like a three-man race between Westside, Easley, and Greenwood, and I think Pickens is right there as well, so maybe four.
They're kind of fighting with us. I think Pickens is kind of there with Greenwood. We're trying to just get the way up. I know Coach Baker's working on several things in the lineups, and he'll get it down. Like I said, it's kind of like, you know, we start a year in Columbia and we started at Kingsmore. Your coach is still trying to figure things out this time of year, which I know that isn't going to lead us to college baseball, but you're feeling each other out right now, is what I'm saying with the high school stuff, and they'll get it together. They'll get together.
All right. I forgot to make mention. I want to make mention, too, of the Greenwood girls softball team. They had a doubleheader this past week as well on Tuesday and also on Friday. The girls ended up beating Westside 10-0 early in the week, and then they took on Dixie, a big win for them, 9-5.
So. I think somebody went to that game.
Did somebody go to that game?
Yeah.
I think somebody went to that game. He endured the cool weather for that one.
Yeah.
So – but you know, Coach Montgomery, they do a really good job over there, and I know that Sam's doing a really good job at Dixie. So I mean, good hands. But I'm telling you, we're in good hands in the Lakelands.
So loving what we're seeing from all the coaches as they continue on. that leads us, guys, to what. When you look at track, I know we had mentioned that track and field was Friday. They had a big meet, first home meet for the Greenwood Eagles. I tried to get a bunch of stuff on that as well, but that was everybody here as well. You had Abbeville, 96, Emerald. You had everybody involved in that, so we're still trying to get the results on that, and we'll pass that along as soon as we can get that to you to go along. But, you know, it's – it's the weekend, a lot of basketball going on over the course of that, and I heard there were a lot of things going on at the track meet as well, where folks were glued to little bitty screens on their phones all over the track fields as well, so from parents to some of the kids as well. So,
and they wasn't all just watching basketball. There was a lot of baseball being watched too with a couple of the teams we've got in this state doing what they did this weekend.
I know Coach is excited about the track this year. I mean, you know, so you know, he's another one we need to get to. We got to get to Coach Baker. We got to get a couple of guys we got to get to. But, like I said, I expect good things from the track team this year. I noticed, you know, we had had Gabby Talley in before the pole vaulter. Now she's actually running some actual track events. So she kind of took the other young lady's place when she went to Clemson. So I'm working on something to maybe get her back in here. And with the pole vault, I don't know if she can bring the pole vault in here, but if she can, maybe we can get her to fix a couple tiles. But,
yeah, I don't think that 9-foot pole is going to fit in here.
I think we can probably put a couple of the what do they jump over when they do the lanes?
The hurdles?
Hurdles, yeah. Well, we can put a couple of hurdles going out the door. But like I said, I'm excited to see what her input's going to be on that. She's no longer a pole vaulter now, because we know.
Well, she's still pole vaulting.
First year pole vaulting, she set records that hadn't been ever done here. So now that she's actually moved into some other events, I wonder if she's that.
Well, she's doing what? She's doing pole vaulting. She's doing the triple jump, and I think the hurdles, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Those are the three events that she's involved in, as well as I think she's running the mile.
Probably.
Holy cow.
Probably. Well, you know, I'm not going to say it, but her daddy calls her chicken. I don't know why, but maybe she's that fast. But like I said, I'm working on that. I got to get them in here, and because I got some other people I'd like to bring in there doing some stuff with spring stuff out there. But there's a lot going on, man. I mean, if we try to – we'd have to have everybody from that we got here in this group at a certain place camped out. So, but track has started up. I mean, so now get out there. But like I said, if you're going to these things, man, and you got allergies, like I do, take your pills, man. If you don't, you're going to be sick the weekend. So that's kind of how it was. Like I tell you, that's kind of how I felt this weekend. I mean, because it's like sinuses, other stuff hitting me. But like I said, and then when you're trying to watch 37,000 basketball games in one day, it finally catches up with you. And like I said, we watched two here Thursday, and then I went to stands for the third, fourth at my house. And then, like I said, it starts all over the next day, and it's just been nonstop basketball. Really good games, though.
Where it got to me was Saturday night when we went into double overtime. That's what I was – I am so now, ready to go.
Well, see, here's the thing about him, Stan. This is you too, probably, but he'll tell you, man, there's times that I send him stuff at like 5 and 6 in the morning. He's probably like, what is this kid? I don't sleep. I'm telling y'all honestly. I do not
– I don't get it until 7.
I don't sleep, but I mean, if I do go, that's when you get it. It's when I'm going to bed. I mean, like I said, I'm like a baby now out of his normal sleep cycle, but I go to bed at 5:36 when it's getting ready to start – lighting up. I'll sleep a couple hours and I come in and we do this. But like I said, I got up at 8 this morning so I could finish out with our podcast stuff, because there were some games I missed late. Well, I watched them, but I had to go back and redo them. So.
Well, that's just like my phone. I've got my phone sitting there. I'm watching. My phone is just blowing up.
And that's probably
it's,
us.
It's y'all too. It's Bill. It's my son. It's other people. And everybody's making the same comments, basically, or agreeing, you know, disagreeing or whatnot. Well, are you watching this game? Heck no, I'm watching this other game. Leave me alone. And my wife's sitting over there, and she's saying, won't you just cut the phone off? I said, because if I cut it off, when I cut it back on, I'm going to have 6,000 text messages I got to read. So let's just try to read them as we go. And then I can agree or disagree.
Well, before we get into that, let me just make mention, B-Rad's already putting up and updating the board from this past Sunday's events here at Howard's on Maiden. Come on by, get ready for happy hour at 4 o'clock and get underway. Not to mention, they got a great breakfast that is here. And if you want to find out all the happenings that are going on, check out their Facebook page. Howard's on Maine is what you need to put in the search engine. Go ahead and follow it, and you'll find out not only the events that are happening, but also what the specials of the day are going
to be. Exactly. I tell you, man, you won't come – if you come empty Howard's empty handed, it's your fault. Because, I mean, it's down to the wire what the prices for the specials are each day. So, I mean, so, like you said, B-Rad's over there filling out his.
Well, he's got the only perfect bracket around right now.
B-Rad, honestly, I know you took the Tigers. I know you did, because you're a true loyal fan. So, like I said, by the time because I was one of those that I'll admit when I'm wrong, guys. And like I said, I think I did on your page last night. I said, man, congrats to the Tigers, because what they did is what I've been expecting all year. And I've been calling it wrong, B-Rat. It's not senior laden. It's experience laden. And that's what the guy said last night after the Clemson game. They beat Baylor. It's called experience laden. They've been in certain predicaments, maybe not in the ones like last night. That game last night was phenomenal. So we'll call it what it is, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But you're just trying to congratulate Lander, and I'm still talking about the board.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and let's talk about the baseball before we get into the basketball, because we're going to spend a lot of time with the basketball here the last half hour or so of this podcast. But congrats to the Lander Bearcats. We'll start first and foremost with the softball team. They pulled off a doubleheader, a big win for them as they get the sweep over another ranked team in the process in Georgia College. But they end up winning, 12-7 of game number one. Game number two, they take a 4-1 victory away from them in the process. And once again, Lander now sits 23-7 overall, 9-3 in the Peach Belt. Bobcats, are not playing their very best here as things get underway. But you can't fault them. Abby Beer, started with the bases loaded, ended up walk into a tie game in the process as well. It's just one of those where they've got a good eye for the ball and they're hitting well.
Yeah, I mean, you're not at Dolan, you're missing out, I'm telling you, because it's the best, the closest baseball here in college that you got. I mean, and it's a good product. I mean, like I said, neither team's where they want to be, but I mean, not every college baseball team, softball team is going to be where they want to be at this time of the year. So give it time. That's what everybody keeps telling me about Kingston. Give him time.
Well, they were. We'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get.
Everybody's wondering where the Kingston haters are after this weekend. But
I'm still here.
All right, but let's talk about the Lander Bearcats baseball team as they get a big victory over number 15 North Georgia, 5-3 on Saturday. They had the doubleheader Saturday as well as the Sunday game to go along with it. But they end up with a sweep with a late rally giving them the big win, 5-3. That hadn't happened since 2012 that they have actually swept North Greenville.
That's been a while.
In North Georgia.
I was going to say, wait a minute. Where's Langston Powell?
North Georgia.
That sounds better, though. Let's just say, Tom, we talk about it week in, week out, week in, week out, and we're seeing week in, week out. This time it's pitching and hitting together, but to hold them, North Georgia to three runs is incredible, the way they hit the ball. They really hit the ball well. And like I said, Saturday, Sunday, it was just like that pitching staff went in there. We got the right guy where he needed to be. And so far, man, Coach Burke and them are doing a good job over there at Lander.
Well, and Lander, too, ended up walking five times. I mean, when your pitching staff ends up doing that, you're going to have a pretty good game putting guys on base.
Eye for the ball.
Yeah. Working. But they got Belmont Abbey coming up again this Wednesday, 5 o'clock. Should be a fun one matching up with those guys here once again. But you may mention of the pitching and the pitching duels that Lander has been in, and you got to think back. I mean, you're thinking back to some of the great that they had, like back in 2014, 13 in that era when they ended up going to Cary and winning the whole ball of wax and stuff. They're back to that, and we had made mention that that the bullpen has been what has been holding them back. They've got a good bullpen now.
They do. They got the staff where they want it. And Tom, when you're talking about wins, losses, Cary, North Carolina, you're also talking about putting guys in the next level that you get drafted. I mean, I can remember that year you're talking about. Who was the pitcher for Lander that got drafted to the major leagues? Went on up there, and he went straight to minor league, and he's probably still playing now. And that's what you get when you play good and you got the numbers to go behind what you're doing and your team's playing well. That's solid. And that's all that coach can ever ask for his players. And, a lot of times we worry about the pitching and can they stay healthy. And this year, knock on the wood again, but the bullpen's staying healthy. And that's one thing that we have not had in the past, three or four years is a solid bullpen.
And Ethan Wilder continues to do it. He had the big triple that ended up bringing in those three runs for a big win for them. So continue hitting well, my friend.
Sam, when you talk about triples at Donnie, you've hit it in that win, buddy.
Yep.
You've hit the ball in that win. So, because it's got no trees around it either, hardly.
No, there's not. I mean, even if they're – well, the nearest trees are – back there at that walking path.
Yeah, I was going to say back at the path. Yeah,
back in the back.
Like I said, and that's another one. If you go to the softball or baseball games, take a blanket this time of year. Because it's cool out there, man.
All right, so we wish them best of luck as they take on Belmont Abbey coming up again on Wednesday, 5 o'clock. And that, I do believe, is going to be back here at Dolney Stadium once again. So
toboggan weather. Just
perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, if they don't get rained out, I think we've got some of that wet stuff supposed to be coming in.
It starts tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday. So at least we may have a weekend. And somebody told me today, if we don't get any rain this weekend, this will only be the second weekend of this year that it did not rain. Now, that's what I was told. Now, we'll have to do
somebody's
some
a better weatherman than I am.
Yeah, somebody have to do some investigation that. But
and
I find it kind of possible to believe, though.
All right. Well, before we get to the miracle children over there in the hills, let's talk about what South Carolina baseball did to number 3 Vandy. A matter of fact, Vandy only fell to number 7 this week in the top 25 to go along with it, where South Carolina, I think now, you got to look at them being ranked eventually this week, if not next week for sure. But Ethan Petrie, another big night on Saturday, then another big game to go along with it yesterday as well. They win 8-4 and then 8-3 in the process of all of that. Two big games back-to-back.
Solid play. Like I said, you're never going to hear me complain about the players. I'm only going to complain about mediocrity with a coaching staff. But like I said, I mean, I'm not really a hater. I just don't know why we hired Monty Lee if we're not going to use him. I mean, that was just a wasted hire to be on the back end of that staff and not have a say in what's going on other than what he's doing. But we expected that. Petrie, Cole Messina. And you got some younger guys that are stepping up, especially on that pitching staff, man.
All right. Well, here's Mike Kingston, his comments after that Game 3 win and the total sweep from number 3 Vanderbilt.
Yeah, great day, great weekend, great series for us. Number 3 team in the country comes in and we play as well as we did. Just very excited for our guys, for our fans. Great weekend, that's all you can say. So happy to answer questions.
What made you want to go with Tyler today, and what was it that made him so good?
We looked at last Sunday. Obviously, Becker is in consideration to be a weekend starter, but he was so good coming out of the bullpen his last few times that we just thought it's something we want to try maybe for one more week. Give Pitzer a shot. Pitzer's been really good out of the bullpen. And let's see what he looks like as a starter. It was at home, so he didn't have to make his first SEC start on the road. It was a chance to give him a start at home. And if it didn't go well, then Becker would be in there early. And if it did go well, we thought we could get what we got today. So Pitzer was outstanding. His poise was good. His stuff was good. He was competitive, looked like a veteran out there. So I think he did everything you wanted to see out of a pitcher, no doubt about it. 9 strikeouts, 1 walk to a team hitting .330. Couldn't be more impressed.
So then you have Mark Kingston, a little bit of his press conference to go along with it on Sunday. And the thing that Vanderbilt's missing, though, is they don't have the pitching they've had in the previous years.
They don't.
True.
And, I mean, you know, that's a great series win. Now, Coach, what we got to do is follow it up with a midday game this week. I don't know. Wait a minute. You told me it's
Coastal.
You got
Presbyterian.
Okay.
Yeah, so, Carolina's got Presbyterian. Okay. Clemson is going to be at home against Coastal.
You get Coastal. And there again, this is where, I mean, all right, I understand we don't want to start this kid as a starter on an SEC game, but we're going to bring him in. So maybe tomorrow he's going to get his start, or whenever we do play PC, he'll get the start. But we can't – we focus so much on home games and we focus on SEC, we forget about midweek games if there are midweek games. And that's what I'm saying. I want to see more focus on midweek games. But who controls the pitching staff for this baseball team? It's not Mark Easton. That's Monty Lee, if I'm not mistaken.
Should be.
So, again, Monty's doing his job. We just got to figure out putting the right lineups together. And that's really, for the last 4 or 5 years, that's been my problem with Kingston. When we get into big series games, the lineups just don't seem to match and get together. And by this time of the year, your lineup should be pretty consistent. I would imagine Eric Batchich's lineup at Clemson is pretty consistent. You know, B-Ray probably knows who's going to be playing first today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. I mean, that's what I want to see more consistently from Mark Kingston. And like I said, that's a big win. I'm not going to not say that's a great win. I'm just The haters are still here, and we're waving our hands. All you got to do is look at Gamecocks forever.
Well, Tyler Pitzer lowered his ERA to 0.48, so Monty Lee definitely doing his job in the process of that. But you're right, they're still looking for that third pitcher, that third starter.
And the thing is, Stan, in the last year, Becker was the guy. So what has happened in a year that – is it confidence that Becker's lost his – I know he was injured.
Yeah.
But – I mean, is that what we're dealing with? Is a guy that just hasn't recovered from an injury that was late last year? Is that where we're dealing with here? And we're hoping he comes through to be that third, second or third guy? Because I don't got all the confidence in the world in him.
Yeah.
If it's an injury, then we do have to worry about it. But if it's not sure he can do what he's supposed to do, then he's not the guy, which I think Becker is. Becker's a really good pitcher.
Well, I think we've got some, you know, they're injury issues, but – then I look at our defensive set. I think Trippett moving over from second to short has helped from a defensive standpoint. Trippett's bat still not where I'd like for it to be. But the kid's getting on base. And when he gets on base, he can steal bases. And also that's helping us a lot. I think Petry had a something was going on with him with some little injury that this weekend, but he played through it, and he's still hitting home runs. But I don't want us to get into that thing that we've had in the past where we live for the 3-run homer to win ball games.
We're back to the Arcocks, as they're called.
I think we've got enough players that can hit it, and there's as the warmer weather has started to roll in, I think we're seeing some of our other hitters step up. Whether they're tired of hearing y'all can't hit, the only two people that can hit on this team is Messina and
Petry.
I think that's kind of maybe ticked a few of them off, and they're putting a little more time in the batting cage, and it's paying dividends. And coming into this series with Vanderbilt, I think historically you look back, even when 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, this series has always been a great series, not just for one team, but for both teams. It's a Carolina's, you know, had Vanderbilt's number a few years, and I don't know if that's why, but it just seems like that's the team that no matter where they're ranked, Carolina somehow manages to pull out a win or two, even if you're playing up there. There are other teams we can't say that about, but with that one we do. And glad to see it. Glad to see the big win started off Friday. Yesterday, you know, I'm saying, okay, I got to watch the Carolina girls. They come on at 1. The baseball team starts at 1:30. You know, by the time you get through the first quarter of the basketball game, it's over. You flip over, and all of a sudden the baseball game's going to tie, and it's over because Carolina scored 7-8 runs in the first inning. And you say, what in the world have I missed? But then, you know, you look at Clemson, and it was just the opposite. I mean, Clemson decides they're going to wait to the 9th inning to score 8. You know, how many people have left?
How many games in a row?
How many people had left the stadium?
Well, the doubleheader on Saturday. Game number one, they 10 ruled in 7, and it's 15-5. They were down 8-1 in the second game, came back, scored 8 runs in the 9th inning for a 9-8 victory. And then they did the same thing on Sunday, coming back. It was like deja vu all over again.
But much like the basketball team, we don't want this Clemson baseball team to wait until the 9th inning to decide to – we need to hit the ball and win. We need to – they need to start doing that in the earlier innings. And
the thing is Florida State has really, really good starting pitching.
They do.
I mean, they would not have been ranked number 7 in the country had they not had that start. And remember, they were undefeated coming into this series in the process of all that. They have fallen to 17, by the way, in the baseball poll. So they went from 7-17, took the biggest drop out of any team that was there. I think mainly because of the bullpen pitching. When they came in, and Clemson just took total advantage of that. How many, you know, Wright had two more Grand Slams in the process over the weekend. The one constant I can say is that Clemson's defense and their bullpen is steady throughout. They just got to find some better pitching to begin with, because Florida State basically took them to the shed in those first, six, seven innings.
That was it, though, Tom. And it was funny because I did hear a quote from the Florida State coach. I can't think of his name to give him the credit for what he said, but he said, we go into Clemson. One of the first two or three games we played away from from FFG, we've had a couple of midweek games on the road, but we've been pretty much playing at home so far. We go on the road, we're worried about our hitting and, our bullpen. And he says, we come out, we put some runs on the board, seven or eight, and it's not enough. And now what's our positive is our negative. He said, we come in, all we got to do is bring a bullpen in a couple games, three games actually, close them out. Nope. So he's like, so now, we got to worry about our starting pitching again. And that opened the door for a lot of teams to get into. I mean, ACC teams to get back in this thing, like North Carolina and Georgia Tech.
Yeah, but if you go, all you need is three outs. That's three all outs. You need.
That's what he was saying.
And that's the hardest three to get in all of baseball or softball. When you, whether you're the visiting team or the home team, and you've got a multi-run lead, your pitcher, he's relaxed. He said, if I miss locate a ball, it's all right if a guy hits a home run, maybe the guy gets a CNI single, but we've all played those games where the first batter gets up and he gets that little CNI single, then you get one a little
hit by
lazy,
a pitch
or walk, and next thing you know, the number eight batter's coming up and the bases are juiced with no outs, and this kid can't hit his weight. And all of a sudden, he's depositing one to the deepest part of the ballpark for a grand slam. Those last three outs are just tough. And it doesn't matter who you are, especially, you're coming in, you're undefeated. You're thinking you're world beaters. Nobody can beat us. Who are you? Clemson. How many games? No, y'all ain't going to beat us. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute. And Clemson, to their, defense or whatever you want to call it, they never gave up. They said, okay, this is it, guys. We got
put
three
the rally
outs.
Hats on. Here
yeah,
we go.
We got three outs to score eight or nine runs. Let's go get them. And they went and got them. Yeah.
Well, here's Coach Backus, what he had to say concerning not only this game number three and the big win, but also the sweep of the series.
I don't know what to say. It's these guys, our games aren't boring, that's for sure. But down 11-2 after the top of the sixth, again, there's no panic. They got together in the dugout, just kind of regrouped, took a breath, and then scored 12 runs in the next three innings. And again, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. And it's not pretty at times, but they just are finding a way. And that's a great quality about this group, that they just find a way. And just very proud of their ability to come back and their ability to fight and have that it factor. It's impressive, and we'll just need to keep the target on improvement, and know there's a lot more to accomplish in this season, and just keep getting better, and know that as we get going, the dramatics like that, it's just the consistency of play for us is going to be important. Just continue to be consistently good, and know that we have that ability to come back when we need to. I think we'd all prefer to go ahead and just establish a lead and extend a lead. But regardless, that's a very good team over there. Florida State is an excellent club, dangerous lineup, elite starting pitching. So we're very fortunate to come away with not even a sweep for sure, but even a serious win against a club like that.
A little bit into it, but again, we're a tough and resilient group, and if we go down, we know we always have a shot to come back. And it was like Coach said in the meeting this morning, we have that it factor. You don't really know like what it is, but we have it. Yeah, we just
so there you have Coach Backett and also Hughes there a little bit with questions that he was asked in the process of all that as well. And I like what Coach said. And, you know, we prefer to be in the lead and take the lead throughout the entire game rather than having to rely on that. But knowing that you can do it, you know, and teams are going to be worried now. If you've got Clemson beat in the ninth inning and, you know, they're up to bat one more time or at the bottom of the top of the ninth, you've got to be a little worried.
Look, if you're at Kingsmore, and I'm you know, B-Rad's my guy, man. He's Lakeland sports guy, Tiger guy. B-Rad was at the game. So, I mean, he saw everything that went on with that thing. And, I mean, when you're doing that, the key to that, though, Tom, is now you're doing it at home. You're giving up a huge lead right off the bat. I'm sure the crowd probably wasn't in the best of mood where they'd be at, you know, when you go down that fast. But yeah. I can't imagine how fast it flipped the switch whenever they came back and took the lead and then won.
Well, how many people were still in the stands when they flipped that switch?
Then that second game.
Yeah. In that second game. I mean, you know, and it's to be at home. But this is a building block, so to speak. Okay. We did it at home. Now, so – this goes back to what Coach said with the it factor. We've got it. We might not know what it is, but
I think they do. He just not want to say.
Now, when you get on the road and you're in basically the same situation, you can look at them and say, is it time to get the it factor out of the bat bag and out of the fielding bag and let's go to work? And the players can look at each other and say, yeah, we got it. We got you, Coach. We know what it is. And get out in the field and get it done.
Well, I tell you what, the bats come alive the later they go. And Wright, I don't think there's anybody hotter right now than
in the
Mr.
country.
Wright is
Let's say
right
that
now.
In the country. Oh. I think it comes down to coaching. I mean, Florida State's coach is just as good. I mean, but it's something about the way that Eric Backich has brought his way and his self into Doug Kingsmore Stadium, where even these fans realize what's going on. And it's when you got coaching, that's when you got something huge. I go back to Columbia. We played against Corbin, who was at Clemson. Wasn't he at Clemson? Mm-hmm. The Vanderbilt coach. Kingston out coach Corbin, and that doesn't ever happen. The thing that it was, and the quote that the FSU guy had was, he was like, I didn't do my job as a head baseball coach. My pitching coach said, oh, he's okay, leave him in there. I made the wrong decision when I hired this guy. No, he didn't say that. But he said basically, yeah, I won't listen to him as far as those decisions are made again. Now, the question is, say, let's roll reverse here. Let's say this is FSU and it's not at Clemson. What happens in that situation there?
We'll find out. That's going to be the last series of the year.
So. And that's what we're thinking about. That's what is going to be key, that they get these guys to stay hot and believing in what they're doing. And they will. Like I said, I like Coach Backett. I watched him for a long time at Michigan up there. And he's adapting to them heels. Let me tell you what he said. He said, use guys. He's incorporating guys and y'all and just use guys. So he's bringing his with y'all. So it's filling in good, man. I like Coach Backett, and he's always got an exciting team to put on the field. We're going to call them the Cardiac. What do we call them, B-Rad? Cardiac Cats? I mean, it's. I know B-Rad don't want to sit there the whole weekend and have all the excitement, and unless you got a lot of beverages going around, which I'm sure he did. He's a bartender. But anyway, man, it's a good time at Kingsmore, and that's the thing. The more you win at home, it ain't going to be like it, like we were talking about Little John. They're going to pack Kingsmore. You can count on that. They love this coach, and they're going to get behind him. So let's keep it going, Tigers. I'm not sure. They got Coastal, right?
Yeah, they got number 19 Coastal
what
coming
into
town. It'll be a home-and-home starting up there at Kingsmore Stadium, 6 o'clock tomorrow evening.
Be right. I want to go. 6 o'clock tomorrow.
And it may get fun. But here again, Mother Nature's probably going to play a part in this one, and they may not get to play.
Yeah, tomorrow's supposed to be kind of rainy, but, yeah. You know, up there in them hills, it's like the rain doesn't even make it through the trees to get to there. But, I mean, you know, that will be a game I want to see,
yeah,
because you got Gary Gilmore maybe playing in his last game at Kingsmore.
Yeah.
It will be his last game at Kingsmore. So
he might make it if regional, super regionals.
Okay.
You know, depending.
That would be good, too, to have them in the regional. Well, I don't know. You don't want
that.
I don't
think
you
want
that as a Tiger.
I don't think you want Coach.
I don't want that as a Gamecock.
Regional,
so. But you know the way they're playing, they could have their own.
Yeah.
They could have
their
own regional. Yeah. They're a good baseball team, and like it'll be interesting who pitches tomorrow for the Tigers. I will be interested to see who they put on the mound
and
tomorrow.
Is Coastal going to throw one of their big guns, knowing that they've got a big Sun Belt game coming up Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Well, you know, it's one of these now that you're playing. It's both teams are probably in top 10, I would still say. If not, they're in top 15. I know we dropped, but, I mean, I think Coastal's still doing their thing.
The Coastal's at 19 right now.
Oh, well, they have dropped.
Yeah,
dude.
They've lost – how many have they lost? You look back at Coastal, they're 18-6, so –
and they're still probably putting up 11, 12 runs a game. But, I mean, like I said, this is a team that – it'll be an exciting game. I mean, you better be ready to put some points on the board tomorrow at Kingsmore.
By the way, South Carolina is ranked. They're number 18 right now after not being ranked
too high,
after
man.
This weekend.
You know, you drop out because you lose to a team you shouldn't lose to. And then I guess I want more consistency. Is that the word, Stan? Let's be a little more consistent. And we can do it. I mean, like I said, we've got the hitters to do it. Now the pitchers got to get in their mindset. We can do this. This is our series, and we're going to win these games. So,
all right. Well, let's turn to the basketball action because we had a lot going on. We'll start with the ladies because the Blue Hose ended up winning their first game. They got the play-in win over a tough Sacred Heart
team. Sacred Heart, yep.
In that one. And they played really good defense. They slowed the game down, ended up getting the win. So they got the right to take on number one South Carolina on Friday. And that didn't quite go the way they wanted to when you look at it overall. 39-91 was the final in this one. But a lot of happy, smiling faces from Presbyterian. You wouldn't have thought that they had lost. I think just the fact at how cohesive this team is and the way that they won the Big South, the fact that they won their first NCAA game to get to South Carolina to take on the number one team, and to have Don Staley basically come to you as well before the game.
Yeah, I think that meant a lot, not only to the coaching staff, but to those players at BC, and a class act, you know, going forward. And that's just going to help that program over there at PC. I mean, good Lord, what does that mean? When you look at the number of Division I women's programs, and you can say, hey, we went to the tournament. Oh, we didn't just go to the tournament. We won a game in the tournament.
A team they were not favored to win, by the way, a game they were supposed to lose. I'll be honest with you. I would have rather, because, I mean, Stan and I, we always talk about the girls before, but I would have rather seen them play North Carolina yesterday. I know
it
defensively.
It may have been a better ball game.
That's what I guess I was going with. Would it have been a better game for them to have played a North Carolina team and see how they would have done, or, you know, us play them for the, what, second time or third time we played North Carolina? But I guess second time we played North
second.
Carolina.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the Blue Hose return home with a lot of memories, their yep. best season ever. So they set a lot of record books. Congrats, Tilda Slavic from Sweden. She ended up with 9 points. You had Paige Kenseth had 9 points to go along with it. Mariah Nera had 8 points. And Nera Connell ended up with 6 points for Presbyterian, of course. Carolina just had way too many weapons to go along for anybody, for the most part, to win. So they ended up advancing to that game, to the next game. They got North Carolina, a team that they struggled with back in December.
December, yep.
In the process of this. And, you know, I sent out a text to you guys at the end of the first half. I said, Don came out and made a statement. She said that we're just going to end this game in the first half whatsoever. They were up by 30 in the first half.
This wasn't a basketball game. This was a beat down. And that's why I said, I mean, you know, PC had two scores at 9 points. I think North Carolina had two girls that had nine, and that was it for that team. So, I mean, and that's a team that's a pretty good team. That Yuski girl or whatever, she's a first-team All-ACC. I mean, so they've got players on the team. It's just a matter of – I still say, though, and, I mean, Stan doesn't agree with me. I mean, we haven't played an away game in a while, so we're used to playing at home. And when you're at home, you're going to make the threes. You're not going to – you know, Full Wally's going to do her thing. And Stan's got the stats.
Goes off for 20 points, yeah.
And like I said, she loves coming off the bench, but can you imagine if Dawn starts making her play, start these games, just to see what she can do as a starter? And let a who would it be, Stan? It would be Bree Hall. that would come off the bench, I guess, if Paul Wiley decides she won't start shooting balls. But I'm excited about it. Like I said, this is a team. I like the way that Dawn did it this year. I think Dawn did it right this year. I think she's waited and she's played probably 15 different combinations of starters and bench.
Yeah, she started Chloe Kitts this time around.
Yeah, she did.
Which she, you know, no, Chloe's been hurt.
Chloe didn't start yesterday.
I could have sworn she started.
No, Watkins started yesterday.
Yeah, she did. Now, Chloe may start.
Chloe started, I think, Friday and was 9 for 9. Yeah. And she was just 4 for 5 yesterday. So, I mean, you know, it's – but I think, you know, it's – you look at it, PC scored 39 points. Okay, we kind of expected that. You got North Carolina coming in. We all know what happened back. We played them at their place. They out-rebounded Carolina.
And remember, it was like a 65-57 game.
Yeah, it was like an 8-point game. And, you know, I think even Vegas probably had it as a pretty close ball game. But, you know, you go and you look at some of the numbers and you look at bench points, 51 for Carolina, 0 for North Carolina. And then I'm looking for if I can find it right here. Come on.
Well, you look at turnover, you know, points on turnovers.
Well, steals.
14.
Well, and you look at steals. Steals, Carolina had 13 for the game. 13 steals. Assist, 17 assists, 7 blocks. You know, those are numbers that, and the 51 by your bench. And North Carolina only scored 41 points, 2 more
than
PC did.
Our bench scoring has been scoring all year, though. That's what you look at now. You look at bench scoring, and you see that they're up there with the starters. I mean, and that's when you look at that, you have to take that in consideration, too.
Well, and when you look at it, you know, and then you look at other teams, you watch other games, and you see this team. Well, we were talking about Notre Dame might be able to give Carolina a decent run for its money. But then you look at it, and Notre Dame is down to like 6 ball players because they got players that are hurt that won't be back. Their numbers are dwindling, and all of a sudden you're saying, this may not, you know. South Carolina's had 2 games, and they've won both of them by 45-plus. Who wants to play them right now? Does anybody want to play them?
Well, Notre Dame won today 71-56 against a really good Ole Miss team.
Yeah.
And they're well coached. Let's just be honest. They're a solid ACC team. I mean, they would be one I don't. And we played Amari one time in France or where we played them. But the game right now going on is Tennessee 15-14 over NC State. That's another team. I don't want to play either one of those.
Well, you don't want to play one of them.
I mean, sooner or later.
Sooner or later, I don't really want to play Tennessee because it would be the 4th time this year you played them.
Well, they're the 6th seed. Yeah. Which is weird to me because NC State's the 3 seed, and Tennessee is a strong team, man. They're 20-12, and they're a 6 seed. That's scary in women's basketball. So that's scary there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about Clemson as Carolina is who they
Who's
play
on?
Next.
They play the winner of the
Oklahoma-Indiana
game. That's a 5-4 game.
Which I think that'll be Oklahoma because they're at home.
Yeah.
That'll be an interesting game.
Yeah.
We'll follow along with that and find out a little bit more. But on the men's side of things, things didn't go quite as well for the Gamecocks on Friday as well. 87-73 loss to your Oregon Ducks in that one. Former Gamecock, Cousinard just absolutely decided.
Lit us up.
Couldn't believe it. He went for 40 in the total of that in that win. But, you know, the struggling USC had shooting. They were only 32% from the field.
Well, and that's,
and,
you know,
and that's
just
been their problem all year. And much like the Lady Gamecocks were last year, the outside shot, they just wasn't consistent, didn't really have any. Well, Don went out and did something about it. And I think that's what you're going to see with Lamont. He's probably already on the road looking and recruiting and talking. He's going to find him some shooters to come in there that'll be a little more consistent.
Coach, call me. I got you two or three already out of this tournament. I mean, like I said, it was a game that, and I will say this, I did something the other day that I shouldn't have done. I got called out by some Tigers on it. That's fine. I love y'all for telling me. For the season, my pick was the Gamecocks. I still put on the paper. In a one-game series against Cousinard Dante, I mean, I felt like going in, that was a game that Oregon probably wouldn't lose that game. Cousinard, though, Cousinard played Meechie Johnson basketball against us.
Yeah.
14 for 22. At some point in time, then Altman just said, hold up now. Let's work the ball inside. Dante was 7 for 9. I mean, that's solid high percentage. Shelstad, you know, 3 for 7. Kwame Evans is the one that didn't do anything against us that I thought he would. He only had 8 points, and he was averaging like 22. But one thing about Dante is he's a double-double man. He didn't have a double in that game, but he did in the next game they played. So I got called out on
20 points, 20 rebounds.
What I was saying, Oregon would win one game, and they did win the one game. But series-wise, I like to play 2 out of 3. I think we'd be better. So.
Well, and the other thing was is with Dante, he had, what, 3 guys ended up guarding him, and Mac ended up fouling out with about 2 minutes to go in the process of that. But, I mean, there wasn't anybody that could stop him inside.
And I think as far as coach goes, I think if he looks at it again, he's probably going to make a decision to probably play Josh Gray a lot more and take BJ out of that rotation where you got to play defense against him, because BJ only had 13 points and really 4 assists. He didn't get 1 rebound in the game. And then you probably would have done the same thing. I mean, Talon Cooper was 60% from the field, 6 out of 10. I mean, and then, of course, Meechie Johnson. We've talked about it before. When Meechie's the main guy, we lose a lot of those games. But 9 out of 16, he still threw the ball up, didn't he, Stan?
He's going to shoot it.
And, I mean, 24, you know, 3 and 3. I mean, CMB, 6-1 and 1. That can't happen.
That can't happen.
That's got to be. He's the star of the team, and he's got to take it over.
But, you know, you're looking at it, too. He's a freshman, and he's got a lot of growing up to do. He did a lot of growing up this season.
Oh, no doubt.
And hopefully we can keep him here. You know, please stay in the program.
Yeah, because you're going to have teams coming.
And Lamont knows what he's losing. Well, he'll go find some players and bring some players in. And I think he's got a good foundation now to start with. He had a few players that were left over from Martin's little reign here, but he'll get his players in, and I think I like the progression that the program is on right now. I think it's in a good place, and it's going to continue to grow.
2 straight years we've gone to portal. Yeah. We got the kid from Citadel last year and BJ Mack this year. Yeah. And that's why I said, Coach, call me, because I got 2 or 3 at College of Charleston I'd like me to go talk to. But I think the key, I think you hit something big there. To be able to hold on to CMB, we got to.
Yeah.
We can't let an Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, whoever want to come in and just take a kid from us after he's done what he's done. The key to my player in the game did not do what I thought he had to do for us to win. That was Zach Davis, 2 for 7.
But that's another player we need to keep.
We do.
We saw his development over
what
the
is Stute?
Year.
Is he a junior? Miles Stute?
No, he's gone.
Okay.
He was
he's one of those Greg guys. Yeah, okay. Yeah. See.
So we'll lose him. We'll lose, I think, Mac.
And that's personality. When you lose Miles Stute, that's personality.
Yeah. You know, Meechie's got one more year, so we'll have him back in leadership. But now we lost to Lon Cooper.
Yeah, Cooper's going to be the tough one to replace.
He's going to be a tough one to replace. But
yeah, he will be.
You found somebody. Go find somebody else.
Hey, where Cooper came from, go back up there. Norman's a good place to recruit from, Coach.
Well, go back to Moorhead State. I mean, you start looking and listening to some of these other games that I've been watching, and there are 4 or 5 kids that played at Moorhead State that are now playing big-time Division I basketball. maybe we ought to go
Hey, Grand Canyon University, you can get a good online degree.
Go, there you go. Go to Grand Canyon and pick you up somebody.
Those kids played hard, too, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Coach Parris did a fantastic job. Picked last, ended up second overall, tied for second in the SEC in the process, and then comes away going to the big dance for a game as well. So going from last to where he is right now, they can't help but hang their heads high as they come back to Columbia.
And the second year.
Yep.
Year three will be big. And like I said, he will go out and he'll hit that portal, and you're going to see a guy, you're like, where did he get – where is that school even at? I like my Patriots too, but I like I said, first year picked last, pick us last next year. Disrespect us, don't give them a top 10 till last part of the season. And you disrespect this team, and they're gonna take you out. So
all right, so let's move on to the other team that was involved in the big dance, that being the Clemson Tigers. Built up an early lead on New Mexico, ends up with a win 77-56 victory over there in Memphis. So they familiar with the court, but we had said all along that they had to come up with a second guard that had to be able to perform or step up outside of Girard. And Girard, for the most part, we know he's more of a shooting guard than he is a point guard.
No, of course.
I mean, so you needed somebody else that was going to bring the ball up, was going to be able to distribute it, and you couldn't ask for a better one than they got.
Well, like I said, he's been player of the game. What he was player of the game like 3 of the 4 last games y'all played. And like a really good player, like I said, I like his – he's like a spark plug, man. And you're talking about Chase Hunter, right?
Right.
I'll make sure we talk about Sam.
Well, I like the fact that he will drive the ball.
Oh, he's
– Well, he found lanes, particularly in game number two. He found lanes that –
to get open. And Girardi is more of the, you know, posted up, let me get my feet under me, three-point shooter. Likes to dribble a little too much for me, but Hunter will go at you. And I think that's what they needed in this game with Baylor. I don't think Baylor expected it. I don't think they saw it coming.
Well, they didn't have an answer for it.
Right, and they were looking for – all their emphasis had been put on how we're going to stop PJ and Shefflin, and all of a sudden this cat comes out of nowhere, and he's driving the bus right through them, and they had no answers for him.
Scott Drew, he made it clear at halftime, this is the best defensive team we've played this year. In Clemson. This is another Alabama-Kentucky that scores a lot of points in the Big 12. Held to 64 points, 30-something at the half. He had no idea what to do. And it wasn't until the Dennis kid came in, Rajay Dennis, that he started – he went crazy. He was 9 for 21, not really good shooting the ball. But they haven't played a team like this. And that's what this team's been all year for Clemson. They finally found the spark plug to give you the points. And then I think Willie might have hit on the head when he said P.J. fouling out helped you more than it hurt you.
It probably did. Yeah. But there were two other players that really helped out. Godfrey. Fantastic. Yeah. And you got to look at Shefflin. Where did the offensive side for Shefflin come from? That was another key in this Baylor game.
Well, he loves the rebounding part, but he likes to get just as physical driving it back down. So, I mean, he can score. He can run the ball and score with it. But, I mean, I think he had to have it. The thing that got me was the poor shooting by Baylor. I don't ever take a win from you. Let me tell you something. I won't ever take a win by the Tigers because you do it. They're a really good basketball team, and we said it all year going in. I just didn't pick you because I thought you were going against some teams I didn't think you'd match up well. But you do. And, I mean – I told you already, I think when you play Arizona on Thursday, that's a game you win against a 2 seed. You can beat Arizona. I mean, they're down to 2 or 3 players health-wise. And you do what you did against Baylor and a Scott Drew team. Tommy Lloyd's the coach at Arizona, does a good job. But that's another one I think Brownell can out-coach another coach, even though they're a 2 seed. You know, reseeding came out today, which I've never understood why they redo this. Reseed after the first couple rounds of the tournament. But you're a 13, man. You moved all the way from where you were to a 13 seed. I mean, 13 rank. That's solid for the Tigers. And that's because of 2 wins nobody thought you would have, including myself. So I eat crow, man. It's good up here. I was with that barbecue.
Well, what about the ACC overall? They get a quarter of the Sweet 16 that go in. 4 teams end up making it. SEC, I said it Fridays, they'll be lucky get out of the weekend. They were 1-5 going into the weekend.
I sent what I sent, and then Willie sent what he sent. We were trying to get to Stan. I am sick. You know, I am sick and tired of this SEC. I'm a game cop, and I don't worry about the conference. I still say, and Joey's not here to defend himself, so we'll wait till he comes in on Thursday. It still comes down to Big Ten, Big 12, and ACC for me in basketball. You want to talk football? I mean, we'll talk football. I mean, SEC's probably a really good conference.
Probably.
And they were good teams this year. I am not saying that, but to go out and just to watch Kentucky the way they lost. Now, that was a one-and-a-dime dream team that they went against, and everybody loves Oakland now.
Yeah.
And it, by the way, where's it at?
Well, and just like Yale beating Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, nobody saw that coming. But
and that's what I'm saying. We had powerful teams. That's why I took College of Charleston over Alabama. That's the reason I did it.
But that game, by the way, they scored over 200 points in that game.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, I went to bed. I did go to bed. I fell asleep in the middle of that game, and I wake up, and it's, what was it, 109-99?
109-96, I think it was.
So College of Charleston started hitting some shots. And, and so that's why I knew last night that was going to be a wild game too. So they got teams that can play. I mean, we're going to get one in.
I think the biggest difference, I think, right now is that historically, the SEC has only had like one team, and that's been Kentucky, that would ever do anything. Yeah. And Kentucky hadn't done anything in 20-something years. So there's not the media respect, so to speak, on the men's side of this tournament. Now, you come back next year, and you put eight teams in again, those eight teams are probably going to go a little bit further. A lot of people were talking about the seeding that some of the SEC teams got was maybe a little lower than what was expected. No, I don't think so. I think they were pretty much where they should have been. Everybody's pointing at Auburn, but when I look at Auburn, I saw a team that could win at home. But when they went on the road, their fans aren't there. They're not going to beat us all flash and dash. And all of a sudden, they're in Spokane, Washington, and they got 10 people sitting there clapping for them.
And Kenny Smith back at the booth.
Right, and, you know, so.
You and I had a problem with seedings. As soon as it came out, you and I were like, what?
This doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And that's where I think Gabbett got it wrong. But, I mean, you know, every year you're going to have a problem with who's seeded where. I think there's more underlying seeds at Kentucky. We already know what the problem is at Louisville. You're starting to see the big dominance go down a little bit. Where I'm impressed with ACC is not Duke, North Carolina, because I expect them. I expect a team that plays, what, 5-6 games in a row to win the ACC tournament, and they're still dancing.
Yeah, North Carolina State is the Cinderella.
Yeah, DJ Burns, South Carolina guy. Let me throw that out there to the rest of the coaches in the state.
Played in Wofford. What's the college in Rocky? Winthrop.
Winthrop.
He played at Winthrop.
Well, he's from Rocky Hill.
That was the only school that recruited him as a basketball player.
And there were a lot of colleges now that are saying, maybe he could be an offensive lineman or
look at BJ Mack, man.
That might make a good tight end for me.
BJ Mack did his job from Wofford to come into Columbia like he did. There's issues, and I mean, you're going to see some changes this year. I still think this is your Calipari dies down. I think he either resigns or he may even be fired. But you got some younger guys. Lamont Paris is a key guy. That's why I think what we did inking that deal with him to try to say, hey, man, we want you here for 10 years. We want you to be Dawn Jr. and let Dawn continue to coach you. Because Dawn's got her hands on this man. See, I'm telling you, she's doing good at what we need to do there. But like I said, NC State is a team that has totally surprised me, and that's Barry's team in the dance. His wife liked the mascot, so they picked him to go all the way through. So I got to see if they're over there on B-Rad's board. But, I mean, all in all, man, I mean, SEC, I mean, really? Alabama can still put the points up. Mm-hmm. They're going to score points. And we'll just have to see what it is.
Don't forget about that Tennessee team sitting back.
Yeah, they're playing good. That's the team. Like I said, when I'm thinking Tennessee, I'm focused on my Lady G's for that one.
And they played a complete game against Texas on Sunday.
Yeah. So that was a good win. Rodney Terry's got a really good team because,
I mean,
remember, Shaka was there. Yeah. And Shaka didn't leave him anything. He took it with him to Marquette, which is another really good team. But Rodney Terry just picked up, came in kind of like Lamont Paris, did what he had to do. And he went to the Portland. He brought players in that can play. And that's why they were the higher-seeded team.
All right, you talk about Brad Brunell. This is the second time in his career that he's taken him to the Sweet 16. The last time was back in 2018.
And like I said, I hope now that we're not even talking about coaches no more. I think he's earned the right to be the head coach at Clemson. And I think he's there, and I think he won't. Listen, when your mom and daddy are still able to come to your games, and they're going to make them rides and them flights, and then you got some players there and everything, their parents are there. There's no issue there with coaching as far as it goes for me. I don't think there's an issue. I don't think it's been there. I just think you need to do it. I mean, he makes $4 million a year. He ain't crying.
The next step for – and there's nothing Bronnell can do.
No, there's nothing recruit,
his players can do. But the Clemson and family, whatever you want to call it, has got to start putting 8,000 people in that gym. When they play at home, they got to start. And it don't matter who they play. They got to start filling that place up. When they start filling it up, Bronnell's already now. He's proven he can coach.
Yeah.
Okay. You still want him to win an ACC regular season. You still want him to win an ACC tournament. And you still want him to go past the big, you know, Sweet 16. But in order for him to do that, there's other things that are going to have to happen. Number one, you got to get out and start putting fans in the stands. And that gives him, when he brings that McDonald's All-American in, that he can now go and talk to, because look at what we're doing in the Big Dance. Our next goal, you know, next year, he needs to finish in the top four in the ACC and get that first round. We thought it was going to happen this year, but they let us down in the Wake Forest game. One game keeps him out of a double bye in that tournament. If he gets that double bye, you know, his seating in the Big Dance is going to be better. Now,
the pathway that they've got right now is pretty good, though.
But he was the only six team that won.
As an argument, though.
So.
The Boston College loss helped him more than it ever hurt his career. That one loss to Boston College in that conference or in that game, look where they're at now because of that one loss. Yeah, we could give him a higher seed, but I think they were seeded perfectly. Because now you still are seeded perfect because you're advancing against teams that nobody thinks you can win. And when you do, everybody's like, me included, like I said. I mean, but now I will say this.
But now can we carry that on into next season?
The thing about that is this will be his toughest job that he's had at Clemson because these guys are his guys. And what, three of the four guys are seniors?
Yeah, well, four of the five.
So you're gonna have to rebuild now. You got to go out and recruit, transfer portal if it takes that. So his hardest job will be next year, bringing another group of guys in to learn his system, believe in it. But the season's not over yet, so we're not worried about next year.
You're worried about
Arizona.
He's still got the base to build from next year.
Yeah,
it's not like he's got to go get five starters.
No,
he's got three, four, five kids on that team that had a lot of meaningful minutes. We're going to continue to develop Shefflin. We're going to continue this one, continue that one, just like he did when he went and got Girardi. All right, I need another guard. Let me go find one. I'm going to have to replace a P.J. Hall. I got to go find me another big man.
Let's see if you can do it now.
Shefflin can't do it by himself. Now, the longer he stays in this dance, easier it's going to be for him to get that guy. But when he gets that guy next year, I got to see more improvement in him. Mm-hmm. I got to see him scaring some of them people up there at the top of the ACC. And that's what's going to have to happen. I mean, is he building a program? I guess that's what I'm saying. Or is he just throwing a basketball out there, picking up his $4 million. If I get into the dance, I'm in it, win a game or two, okay, I'm good. You know, nobody at this school cares about whether we hang a banner up or not. And that goes back to attendance.
No good about the wins and losses. That's pretty good.
I'm
not going to Carolina if Paris isn't winning. I'm going to tell you that now.
But the thing about it, why does Paris win at home? Why does Dawn Staley win at home? Walk in that building and there's 14,000.
But they're winning. They're winning now because
they built the program and they won.
But the fans started coming because they were winning.
Right. But
I ain't going to see old Frank. I can promise you that.
You start winning and you keep winning. That's what I'm saying. The people have got to keep coming.
Yeah.
They can't just.
By the way, I think the best fan base for the Clemson players right now has got to be Shefflin. You see a whole group of students out there with the Shefflin hats
on.
That's gotta be.
Everybody's got them.
Yeah.
I've got them.
I asked Howard if I use his, but he said Barry's was dirty, but I could use his. So.
But none of them had the Clemson paw on it. I didn't see one.
Well, you're still
Steve Riley needs to get on the stick.
Get
some Clemson paw hats up there. Chef.
We'll wear them Thursday.
all for it.
We'll be talking about them Thursday. So, like I said, they got it. I'm amazed they played last night or two nights ago and they got to play Thursday. In L.A., by the way.
Yeah, and we still haven't found a time on that. It's still TBD.
6:09
6:09 It's the earliest game. It's basically the earliest game back because, I mean, that'll be the first game you'll play in L.A. So. Yeah.
That'll be a 3:30 start time in L.A.
Yeah, you'll have the Madison Square, the two games there, and the two in Tinseltown will be your four games for Thursday.
Yeah. So. I got to wear Clemson, by the way, so I need to borrow something.
All right, you can have this one.
Since I lost it. It could be a hat for all I care, but I lost a bet. I try to do what I do.
Should be fun. Well, we want to invite you to come on out. Howard's on Main. They got all kinds of great events that go on throughout the weekend. Best
grub.
Spot to get music right here at Howard's on Main. A grub, too. Tell you what, Clyde makes a mean batch of wings. If you get a chance to come on out here and order those, you got to try those to go along with it. But check out their Facebook page, Howard's on Main, and you can get not only what the daily specials are, but also what the events are going to be throughout.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's Chris Cox. Dan, thank you again for coming in. I'm Tom Caron. We're the Lakeland Sports Guys. Enjoy your week. We'll be back on Thursday.